Hey, everybody. Thank you for tuning in this morning. Today is Star Wars Day. It is May the 4th. So I hope you're having a wonderful day, and I hope you take some time today to do something Star Wars related. It is a big day because the new Star Wars movie from the past winter, the Rise of Skywalker, is that what it was called? Debuts on Disney Plus, so we'll have to watch that later. So I hope you're all having a great day. We are starting a new class today, the Theology of C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis is my favorite author. I just love C.S. Lewis. I love what he had to say. And his theology to me is very helpful. It's very helpful. And so we will start going through it today. We are going to start with a little bit about C.S. Lewis's life, to talk a little bit about his life. C.S. Lewis was born in November of 1898. He was born Clive Staples Lewis in Belfast, Ireland, and he went on to be an author and a Christian apologetic author. And so he was big in the world of apologetics, which means that he tried to make sense and defend Christianity. He tried to make sense of Christianity for people, and he defended Christianity in his writings and in his other works. So that was the majority. He published over 30 books, I think, and the majority of his books were all theological in nature and Christian apologetic. So lots of great stuff that he wrote, lots of stuff. He was able to think through things in a very deep way and explain it so that the reader would help make sense of it. So he spent a lot of time in deep thought, and then trying to, how can I write this so that it makes sense to people? And he was very good at that. And so a little bit more about C.S. Lewis. When C.S. Lewis was 10, I think he was still 9, he hadn't turned 10 yet, his mother died, and he was sent off to England to go to school. So he was in England going to school, and World War I breaks out. He ends up enlisting in the British Army and goes off to war. And so while he's there, one of his good friends is killed. And then in that same month, he is wounded. And so he's wounded in April of 1918 and discharged from the British Army in December of 1918. So he's not even 20 years old yet. His mother has died. He's been through war. He's, one of his good friends has died, and he's been injured. So his life, I mean, that's a hard teenage year. The teenage years are rough, right? As a teenager, he refused to believe in God. He came to the God doesn't exist. God isn't real. And so he becomes an atheist. So he becomes an atheist as a teenager. 1925, he was offered prior to enlisting in the army, he was offered a scholarship to go to Oxford. 1925, he's appointed an English fellow at Oxford, and he tutors in English language and literature. And in 1926, he meets his friend J.R. Tolkien, and they remain friends for the rest of his life. A couple years later, 1929, he abandons his atheism and converts to theism. It's also the same year that his father dies. So he says there has to be a God, and isn't sure what it is, isn't sure what God is, the right God, or what religion is the right religion, until September of 1931, when he converts to Christianity. He converted to Christianity, and this is really, really, really interesting to me. He converted to Christianity because it made sense to him. It made sense based on the law. Where does the law come from? This idea that each of us internally, we know the difference between right and wrong. How do we know the difference between right and wrong? Who sets the standard? How do we know that? So we're gonna study that a little bit later. We're gonna go dive into that. But it's from there that he understands or finds faith in Jesus. It made sense to him, so he believed, which is really different. Which is really, really different than how most people come to faith. St. Anselm, who was born in 1033 and died in 1109, he said that faith seeks understanding, not the other way around. We don't understand first and then believe. We believe and then we try to understand. For us as Lutherans, it's difficult for us to say that we believe because we understand. A light bulb doesn't come on and say, oh, that makes sense, so I'm going to believe. No, we believe as children, most of us, and then we grow up. And as we grow, we seek understanding, but we don't come to faith because we understand. That's C.S. Lewis, though. It's completely different how C.S. Lewis comes to faith because it made sense to him. But for us, we're still, you know, as people of faith, we're still struggling to make sense of it, right? And so for C.S. Lewis, it's the backwards way. And as Lutherans, we'd kind of reject that and say, well, faith is a gift of the Holy Spirit. So no, you really didn't understand, but the Holy Spirit revealed it to you. But it's interesting. Okay, so that's September 1931. 10 years later, August 1941, England is back in a war, World War II, and C.S. Lewis has grown in kind of notoriety, and so he's invited to come and give wartime broadcast talks on Christianity. So he starts these radio programs, and he'll write something and then read it. Later, those are all collected and turned into Mere Christianity, the famous book that he wrote, Mere Christianity, which it's a very interesting book, but it's kind of like shoveling mud. It is, you got to take it slow. You got to read every word. Sometimes you got to read the same sentence 2, 3, 4, 5 times and just let it soak in. It's a book to get through slowly because it's so theologically dense. So if you want to read a book on Christianity written by C.S. Lewis, I don't recommend Mere Christianity. I recommend The Joyful Christian. The Joyful Christian is much easier to read. Divided into all different kinds of subjects. There's like 100 subjects in it. There are all kinds of different theological things, and they're about 2 to 3 pages each. So it's called The Joyful Christian. Highly recommend it. It's one of my favorite books of all time, The Joyful Christian. So the 40s, in the 40s, he continues to write, continues to do other things. And in 1950, October 16th, 1950, he publishes The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, which is the first part of the Chronicles of Narnia series. And what's interesting is that he writes this basically at the same time that Tolkien is writing The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring. And so they kind of argue back and forth about the use of allegory or the use of somebody in a character in their story that stands for something else, right? And Tolkien is opposed to it, will not do it. So if you read The Lord of the Rings, if you see the Lord of the Rings movie, nothing in it stands for something else. So for years, people could say, well, the ring itself, the ring that they have to destroy, represents an atomic bomb because it's all powerful. But no, nothing in it stands for anything else. Where C.S. Lewis, when he wrote the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, he says that, well, no, Aslan is actually, does stand for something. And so people have argued if it's allegorical or something else, but what C.S. Lewis wrote was, what might Christ become like if there were really a world like Narnia and he chose to be incarnate and die and rise again in that world as he has actually done, as he actually has done in ours? And so if Christ were to show up in Narnia, he would show up as Aslan. So if you've seen the movie or if you've read the book, you know that Aslan is killed but then rises from death. And so that's the use of allegory in writing. C.S. Lewis was all about it. Tolkien wasn't. And so they would talk a lot and they would, you know, talk about writing and all that kind of stuff. And they would have disagreements. So so neat that these two men who wrote such important, such popular books were so close to one another and were writing them at the same time, basically, you know, at the same restaurant, same bar. So, you know, what's interesting though about both of these men is that they were both very popular in the time, but after they died, their popularity just skyrocketed. Their books became movies and all kinds of stuff. Okay, so 1956, C.S. Lewis is now 58 years old. He marries for the first time. He marries an American writer named Joy Davidman Gresham. She's about 15, 16 years younger, maybe a little bit more, but gets married and he adopts her two children and has a family life. And, you know, everything is going well, but she only They're only married for 4 years before she dies. She dies of cancer. I think she's about 45 years old. And so he then raises these two kids for the next couple of years. He writes a book called A Grief Observed, writing about grief and the, you know, going through the loss of somebody. He published it under a pseudonym, N.W. Clerk, but it was him who wrote it. And then November 22nd, 1963, he dies on the same day as John F. Kennedy dies, I think about an hour before John F. Kennedy dies. And so the news of his death is obviously second page news, you know, just kind of overwhelmed by the loss of John F. Kennedy. So that's his life. What's interesting is that in his estate is left to his brother, and his brother ends up passing them on to the two sons of Joy Davidman Gresham. And so those two sons, who I believe are both still alive, were given the estate of C.S. Lewis. So I thought that was kind of a neat story. So, okay, our first theological thing that comes from C.S. Lewis, his understanding of the law. It is his understanding of the law that kind of brought him to Christianity, right? And so he says, how do we all know the difference between right and wrong? How is it that we might disagree, and there's some gray areas, and we certainly would disagree in some of those gray areas, but who sets the standard? Who sets the standard that we all kind of agree on? I mean, we all kind of agree that there's just some things that are wrong, and there's some things that are right. Now, there, as I said, there's gray areas, but where does that come from? How is it that we are born with this inside of us, with this knowledge of right and wrong? Where does that come from? And so he, Jeremiah 31:33, I will write the law on their hearts. And so for C.S. Lewis, as he explained this and as he understood it, he put it like this. He said, you may have heard this before, but I think it's really powerful and really important. He says that when we see something happen, there's a voice that pops up in our mind right away, right? Right away. It says, you can either help that person, you can run towards the danger and help that person, or you could run away and protect yourself. Those are your two options, right? And so anytime in life when something happens, there's two options that pop up. You can do one or the other. You can put yourself in harm's way and help, or you can get yourself out of there and be safe. And then there's a third voice that comes just a little bit later. A third voice, which isn't so much a reaction, but it's a compass. The third voice tells us which of the two choices is the right one. So you see somebody in need. Do I help? Do I run? And then that third voice comes up that tells you which one is the right one. Which one is the one I should do? It helps you make the decision. I should help. I should run. Where does that third voice come from? Where does that third voice that helps us decide, helps us make sense of the other two choices? Where does that come from? That comes from the law written on our hearts. That comes from God telling us what we should do and what we shouldn't do. Each day, we are faced with choices. We are faced with options. We can do one or we can do the other. We can do the right thing or we can do the wrong thing. And every day we have that third voice that tells us, well, you should do that. If you take a moment to think through things, if you take a moment to allow that third voice to speak, you will understand the difference between right and wrong. You will know what you should do and what you shouldn't do. And for C.S. Lewis, that was God. That was how he came to understand that there is a God and that it is the God of the Bible known as Jesus Christ. So, tomorrow we are going to get deeper into his theology. We're going to start with what he thought about Jesus. We'll talk about the virgin birth. And we'll talk about a few other things, and we'll study C.S. Lewis all week. And we'll go through a couple things each day and look at some of the arguments that he made to defend some of the Christian beliefs that we have. And for me, it's C.S. Lewis writes about it and looks at it in a different way that helps make sense for me. Say, oh yeah, that absolutely makes sense. I can understand it that way. And so that's why we're going to study C.S. Lewis for the rest of the week. I mean, you could just from reading what he wrote, you could tell that the way that he saw the world, the way that he was able to process things, it just was spectacular. He was obviously very intelligent and could process things in a way that most human beings can. I mean, it's just the way he would think through things. He certainly spent a lot of time in reflection. And so maybe that's all we need is a little bit more time in reflection. So we'll close with a word of prayer. Good and gracious God, we thank you for your many gifts. We thank you for bringing us together again this morning for this conversation and for the opportunity to be in fellowship with one another. Help us to understand what it means to believe in you. Help us to understand what it means to follow you. Help us to understand what you would have us do with our lives. Continue to bless us in each and every good way. Help us to find peace in the midst of anxiety and concern. And we continue to pray for your healing presence with all those who are struggling with the virus and all those who are tending to their needs. Protect them and heal them in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for joining me today. Have a great rest of your day, and we will be here tomorrow morning at 10:30.